Well, let's go ahead and begin. If you will stand for just a moment, and we'll ask God's blessing. Father in heaven, we are so thankful for your word. What a gift it is that you have given us the Bible. And mankind doesn't fully understand it. We don't fully understand it. But we ask your inspiration on us today to understand as much as you want us to know. So we ask your blessing on this Bible study and thank you for all of us being together. Thank you for your love, your spirit, your wisdom, for Jesus Christ. And Father, we ask your blessing in his name. Amen. You, by the way, the important person just arrived. The important person is 12 weeks old. Our newest great-granddaughter, Willow. And we are here for obviously, we're here for Sabbath services, but tomorrow, the reason we're in Ohio is because tomorrow will be a wedding of Renee's grandson. Matthew is getting married tomorrow, and the family is in for that, and a grandson, Ryan, and his wife, they're here with their first baby. And all you have to do, if you wonder, is ask them, is that the most wonderful baby that ever existed? And of course, the first baby is the most wonderful baby that ever existed. So we're happy to have Willow here. I'm going to use you as guinea pigs. I've been asked to give the Bible study down in Mexico for the feast. And they want, I'm doing something I don't usually do. The translators want as complete a outline of the Bible study as possible. 6 pages. I mean, for years, I just did my sermons on a 3x5 card. And I gave this same sermon in Memphis last week. It wasn't in Memphis. Where did I give it? Anyway, Jackson, I guess. We went there, and I forgot my notes. I didn't have any notes at all. So I gave it with no notes, which is much easier for me than doing it with notes, extensive notes. But I've got to follow this today to practice. I hope you don't mind that I'm doing that and letting you all be the guinea pigs. I've never had notes 6 pages long. Anyway, I'd like to give a Bible study today based on Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 and 10. Very fitting scripture for the Feast of Tabernacles. Very fitting for the Feast of Tabernacles. And you know this one very well. There are 2 places in the book of Revelation that tell about the fact that the kingdom of God will be on earth and that God's chosen, his saints, will become kings and priests. It says so in chapter 1 also, but chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, I think, is a little clearer, where it says, Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, and they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals," speaking to Jesus, "for you were slain, and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Isn't that wonderful? It's not just Israel. It's everybody, every nation, every tribe, every tongue. And then it says, verse 10, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Now, that's confusing to a lot of Christianity. It's almost ignored, because the basic idea is that if you're a Christian, when you die, you go to heaven, and you're in heaven forever. But here it's talking about the kingdom of God on earth. Now, God's festivals, the Bible's festivals, the feast of the Bible, teach us of the kingdom of God on earth. But that's pretty much ignored. And the reason is, if you look in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13 and 14, Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. I'll tell you what. I've seen a very happy lady named Renee quite a bit. But she's got a grin that's one side of her face to the other right now, because she's holding Willow. She's back there. Yeah, she's there. She is. There's Willow. So what joy! Willow sort of babies steal the show anyway, don't they? You've heard me say the most wonderful thing that, and this actually fits with the Bible study, the most wonderful thing that God ever made, and I'm entitled to my opinion, babies. That's the most wonderful thing that God has ever made. Anything bring you joy more than a baby? And the second most wonderful thing, mothers. Mothers are wonderful. In my opinion, and I'm entitled to my opinion, is the closest human love to God's love is mother love. Now, I realize there are some mothers who have not been good mothers, but they're pretty rare. They're pretty rare. And you say, well, where do fathers fit in? Sometimes some fathers fit in the top 10, maybe, of the wonderful things God has made. It's hard to beat mother love. Mother's the one who felt this baby inside her, felt the kicks, had trouble in the last month sleeping. It's not comfortable to sleep on your back. You can't sleep on your stomach. And even on your side, it's not comfortable. And then the difficulty of delivering the baby and holding the baby and then nursing the baby. What Eartha Kitt? If you remember Eartha Kitt? You do? She said the most wonderful thing a person can do is nurse a baby. That's just pure joy. And then she said, sorry guys, you just missed out. So she was a famous singer back in the 40s, 50s. Anyway, kings and priests on the earth, but we were going to read Matthew 7. Enter by the narrow gate. Now here is an incredible verse that a lot of people miss. They've read it, they've heard it, but can you believe it? Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Now, Jesus is saying the majority are missing out, because there are many who go through the wide gate and broad the way. Verse 14, because narrow is the gate and difficult the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. Few. And that's why to tell you that God's children are going to rule as kings and priests on the earth is something that sometimes is foreign to most Christian churches, most any religion, that they'll rule on the earth. Now, I'm not going to turn to it, but in the book of Revelation, also, chapter 19, verse 16, it says that Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. So, once again, it says that God's children are to become king and priest. You know, if you're a king of kings, it means there are other kings. Not just Jesus. He's not the only king. He's a king of kings. This word that describes that. That English word is emperor. An emperor is a king of kings. Jesus is going to be a king of kings. He's an emperor. It says that they will rule on the earth. There's another scripture that you might be familiar with. I think you are. You know the parable of the talents and the pound. What did Jesus say to them? Have thou rulership over 10 cities. That's not in heaven. That's on earth. And what kind of rulership? Jesus told, that's in Luke chapter 19, verse 17. But I also just want to mention, you don't have to turn to it, Matthew 19, verse 28, where he speaks to his 12 disciples, and he says, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones. That's what kings sit on. Judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, most modern governments have divided authority. The United States has 3 branches of government. We have the legislative, makes the laws. The executive executes the laws. And the judicial makes judgments concerning the laws. And so there are 3 branches of government. In Israel, there were only 2 basic branches of government. The king was involved with law, judging also, and executing the laws to fill it out. But there was another branch of government, which we don't have in the U.S., and that was the religious branch of government. So there were the 2 in Israel. There was originally there were judges, and they were the civil government. But there was also religious government. There was a high priest. Now, saying there's a high priest means that there are other priests underneath that are not high priests. Jesus is called a high priest. So he's going to be the high priest and the king of kings, but underneath Jesus will be the resurrected saints. And they will be kings and priests. They're not the high priest. Jesus is the high priest. They're not the king of kings. Jesus is the king of kings. But we're going to be that. And I want to just mention that what I would like to do is discuss what we read, have a Bible study on what is it like to be a king and a priest. Because we are training to be kings and priests and to discuss that. Now, a lot of you might say, I have no desire to be a king or a priest. But that's because we look at the priesthood of mankind, and we look at the kings of the earth, and we think, I've no desire to sit on a throne, to wear some crown. You may not even have a desire to have your face shine, But we can discuss what it will be. God is going to put the kingship and the priesthood together. I want to turn to Zechariah chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. Now remember, there were two branches of government for Israel. There was the king, and then there were priests. But here is a prophecy about the Messiah. And it says that what's going to happen here is a prophecy concerning the Messiah, that he will be both a king and a priest. Now, the first king, they had judges, but the first king was Saul. And the second king was David. But David was not a priest. And Saul was not a priest. Saul got in trouble by offering an offering as if he were a priest. And so God said he was going to take away the kingship from Saul because he was doing the job of a priest. Zechariah chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, verse 10, receive the gift from the captives. So there were some captives who came from Babylon, and they brought gifts, gold and silver. These were wealthy captives. And it says, from Heldiah, Tobijah, and Jediah, who have come from Babylon, house of Josiah the son of Zephaniah. That's not the Josiah the king. This is a different Josiah. Take the silver and gold. Make an elaborate crown. A crown was for a king. And set it on the head of Joshua. Joshua was not descended. This Joshua was not descended from David. All the kings had to be descended from David. But this Joshua is a priest. He's a Levite, not a Jew. The Jews, you had to be a Jew, you had to be descended from David to be a king. But this is not a descendant of David. This is a priest. And he's going to put a crown on the priest, on the head of Joshua. By the way, what's Jesus' Jewish name? Joshua, that's right. The actual name Jesus had is the Hebrew name, Jesus, is Greek, but it actually was, in Hebrew, Joshua. Set it on the head of Joshua, means God saves, that was Jesus' name, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Then speak to him, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man's name is the branch. Who is that? Jesus. He's called the branch. More than one place. From his place he shall branch out. Who built the temple of the Lord? Jesus. It says, destroy this temple, 3 days I'll build it. What was the real temple? The body of Jesus, the temple of God. And God dwells in us, because we're his temple. He shall build the temple of the Lord. Yes, he shall build the temple of the Lord. He shall bear the glory. There's glory. And shall sit and rule on his throne. I mean, they put a crown on the priest. Now, that was not that job was no king at that time, because the Babylonians did not allow them to have king. And shall sit on his throne. So he shall be a priest on his throne. This is a prophecy of Jesus. And the council of peace shall be between them both. There's often, when you have branches of government, there's often argument between the different branches. I mean, don't we have in the United States 3 branches of government? And don't they complain about each other? Now, what will it be like to be a king and a priest? Now, as I said, Most of us think, I don't want to be famous. I don't want to be a king. I don't want to sit on a throne. I don't want to wear a crown. I don't want, and I don't want to have to enforce law and punish. Well, that's true. A king's job was to enforce the law and to punish evildoers. That was his job. But in the kingdom of God, what will happen? Our job will be to stop people from breaking the law before they break it. In other words, our job will be to make sure there are no abused children. I mean, if you rule over a city and you can see everything and you know everything that's going on and everything that happens, you can stop trouble before it starts. In your city, you will not allow any girl to be raped. And by the way, what is the biggest chance if a woman gets murdered in the United States? The biggest percentage chance, who is it that murdered her?
Family.
It was the husband or boyfriend. The majority of women who are abused and murdered in the United States and in the world, I'm sure, they're murdered by their husband or their boyfriend. Isn't that awful? You know, you hear every now and then of, and we've had it happen in the church. We had years ago a man who was a pastor. He may have been removed from being a pastor, but his wife was coming out of the lawyer's office, and I don't remember his name, don't need to mention it to you. He came up with a gun, killed her, and killed himself. Any of you remember that? Yeah, a few of you do. Isn't that awful? Will you allow that in your city? Will you allow marriages to go? You'll know if a marriage is going bad and be there to intervene. Now, that's, you know, no child in your city, and the cities won't be the same as they are today because it says every man will sit under his own vine and his own fig. So it's going to be more rural cities. And will you allow a child to be abused? Will you allow bullying? No. So the job of a king, and you'll have the power, you'll know every hair on everybody's head. See, we're not going to be like we are today. We're going to be like Jesus. The Bible says so. Now, we're there to protect the weak. Now, the job of a priest is to be both a teacher and an intercessor. Now, you might say, I don't want to be a priest. And job of a priest is to get between people and God. That's not the job of a priest in God's kingdom. The job of a priest in Israel was to remove what is between a person and God. In other words, the job of a priest is to help people remove sin. That's what separates us from God, is sin. And the job of a priest is to help people remove sin by turning them to the high priest, Jesus Christ, and accepting the Passover. Jesus is called the Passover. So it will be the job of kings and priests to teach people about their Passover, Jesus, and remove the sin. It's not to get between people and God. It's to get things out of the way that are between people and God. Now, that's the job of a priest. That sounds pretty good. To help people have their sins removed. When you're baptized, it's to have your sins removed, to get things out. Does the minister get between you and God? No, the minister is there to help facilitate you being close to God. and get rid of what is in between. Isaiah 30 and verse 19 through 21. And by the way, priests also had to teach the law. So it'll making sure that everybody knows God's sweet, precious law. That everybody will know, no, you don't kill. You don't lie. You don't steal. There will be no need for locks on doors in God's kingdom, because you'll be there to make sure that no one is stealing. And what does it say? Isaiah 30, verse 19. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. There's the job of a king and priest. To do away with weeping. He will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity, though he gives Israel the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet, and that's going to happen before the kingdom, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore, but your eyes shall see your teachers. God's children will be there to teach, and the world will see. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. So if somebody is about to do something bad, you'll know it because, look, God knows every thought, right? When someone's contemplating doing evil, you'll know it. Ah, that music. Music to our ears. I've had sometimes where the phone goes off in the front row, and I don't have my phone on me, but I'll pull out my phone and say, no, hi. No, nothing important. How about you? No, I told you on the nose in the third race. Anyway, you know my marker is good. Not that I know anything about gambling. This is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand, whenever you turn to the left. So it will be that before somebody can do it, before somebody hurts somebody, you'll know it. You'll know when they're thinking. And they're starting to do it, and all of a sudden, your voice. No, this is the way. You don't hurt that person. Put that rock down. You're not going to hurt. You're not going to steal. Now, think of that. Your city will have no murder, will have no child abuse because of you, under God. And if you have trouble and you don't know what to do, you'd say, well, what if I don't know what to do? Look, God knows every thought of everybody in this room right now. Right now, he knows what you're thinking. And it says that we're going to be like Jesus. And we'll read that. But it goes on, and I want to just mention, you'll be intercessors. It says Jesus is our intercessor right now. He's at the right hand of God who also makes intercession for us. That's Romans 8, verse 34. You're already an intercessor. Anytime you pray for someone else, you are an intercessor. And that's what a priest's job is, to intercede. Jesus is our priest right now. He intercedes for us. And you'll have instant contact with God at any time. And you can intercede. It may seem like it's more than you're capable of doing. But look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. For our citizenship is in heaven. Now, we're citizens of the United States, but our true spiritual citizenship is in heaven. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. From which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. Jesus has a body where He can control everything in the universe. The Bible says Jesus made everything in the universe. God made it through Jesus. Now what power has He got? He has perfect memory. He knows every hair on our heads, just like the Father. He created every molecule that's in our hair. Every atom, every mineral that's in our hair. And He knows how many we have. We don't even know how many we have. Well, maybe some of us, it's easier to count. But then it says, He'll transform our lowly body. Yes, we have terrible memories. I've mentioned this before. You go to the feast, you see somebody the second day, you want to go up and say hello to them. But they told you their name yesterday and you don't remember it. How long will it take you? After a while, you'll know every angel by name. Because you'll only have to hear it once. You'll have perfect memory. Like God is able to read our minds. Jesus is able to read our minds. We'll know what people are thinking. Because it says, transform our lowly body. The body that you and I have now is lowly. You can only remember a small amount. You can only see a small amount that's right in front of you. You can only hear things that are nearby. You'll know everything. You'll know everybody in your city. You'll know what they're thinking at all times. Because it says, transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. Another place where it talks about glory, and that's the glory we're talking about here, is Hebrews 2 verse 10. I'm not going to turn to it. I'll just read it to you. It talks about Jesus is bringing many sons to glory. That's many sons to glory. He's not the only glorious son. You will be a glorious child of God to make the captain of their salvation perfect. And another one that you're all familiar with, a memory scripture most of us have, where it says, I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. So, Jesus doesn't just have God's Holy Spirit. You and I have God's Holy Spirit in us. But Jesus doesn't have God's Holy Spirit. He is composed of God's Holy Spirit. And I want to read John 17, verse 5. John 17, verse 5. He wants to bring us to the same glory that He has in God's kingdom. Not to be angels. The Bible doesn't say we're going to become angels. It says we're going to be in the family of God. We're going to be like Jesus, bringing many sons to glory. John 17, verse 5. This is His prayer just before He died. that night before he died. He says, "And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself." Imagine, think of that. Glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. It is God's Spirit that gives us love. Mentions that Romans 5:5. It says, "The love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which was given to us." So if you have God's love in you through God's Spirit. Jesus doesn't just have God's love in him. He is God's love because he is glorified and made out of God's Spirit. See, we have the Holy Spirit in us, but Jesus is composed of Holy Spirit. He says, "Glorify me together with yourself." Jesus is love. God the Father is love. Jesus is love. God's Holy Spirit in us gives us love. But what about when you're born into God's kingdom as kings and priests, and you're given a body like Jesus' body? As it said, we read in Philippians. You'll be composed of Holy Spirit. Now there is love. We will know love as we have never, ever known love. We will know what's going on. We will see. We'll have perfect memories. See, we tend to think of ourselves in God's kingdom with the bodies we have now. But they can fly. And their spirit. But we'll have the same memory. No, we won't have the same memory. We'll have the same eyes. We can only see what's in front of us. No, God can see everything that's going on, not just what's in front of him. Jesus knows everything that's going on. He composed and made and created every atom in the universe. So he knows everything that's going on. And God wants to give many sons that glory. Now, that's power to serve. Jesus uses the power he has to serve. And he is filled with love. He's not just having God's Holy Spirit of love in him. He is God's Holy Spirit of love. So we'll know love as we have never known. And we imagine now, think of this. Mothers love their babies. I'm talking about the average mother. The average mother would throw herself in front of a bus to save her child. Jesus Christ didn't throw himself in front of a bus. That would have been easier than crucifixion. He was willing to do that because he is love. And God is love. And when you're in God's kingdom, as a king and a priest, you won't just have love, you'll be love. Now, what brings us joy in life? You know, people might say family. Why? Because a family is based on love. And family brings joy. I mean, mother love is just amazing. Father love is amazing. Now, not everybody had a good father and a mother. I did. I had wonderful parents, and I knew they loved me. And I came to love my parents. When did I come to really love my parents and appreciate them? After I had children. After they became teenagers. Then I knew what my parents went through for me. Because they loved me. And that kind of love brings joy. Oh, I'll tell you, when you just look at Willow and she smiles at you, and everybody smiles at Willow and any baby. When a baby and finally gets to the point where it starts to coo, and little Willow has learned to coo, go hoo, 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 and smile, well, that brings joy. What brings joy? Love. Love. And in God's kingdom, we'll know love that we have never known. Does God love babies more than mothers? Of course. Does Jesus love babies more than mothers? Of course. When you're a king and a priest and you're responsible to do what, under Jesus. And by the way, if you don't know what to do, you'll have 24-hour-a-day connection with God the Father and Jesus Christ. Just that simple. He's King of Kings. You don't know what to do as a king? Ask Him. You can be on the other side of the universe and ask Him. You could ask Him. He knows what you're thinking right now. He'll know what you're thinking anytime. And He'll let you know what He's thinking anytime. So you'll have instant connection with Jesus. You'd say, how can He be connected with that many people? How can He know all of our hair? It just seems impossible to us because we're so limited. But He's not limited. He knows every hair on our head. He knows every thought we have. And we will have that same glory to serve. And so we will know in our little city, in your little town, you'll know when a lady's pregnant before she knows it. And you'll watch the baby grow. You'll know if it's a boy or a girl before she knows. And you will watch that little baby grow. You'll love that baby more than mom. You'll know when that baby's kicking. And you'll know when the baby's going to be born. And then when the baby's born and mom finally falls and puts the baby down and falls asleep, you'll know what the baby's doing. You'll be watching the baby. You'll see the baby 24 hours a day more than mother. You'll love that baby more than mother. Can you imagine loving a baby more than the most dedicated mother? God does. Jesus does. Kings and priests in God's kingdom will. And your job will be to lead that child under to God, to Jesus, and to their Holy Spirit. Now, will that bring joy? And then when that, let's say, this little girl, you've watched her grow, and you're there to make sure she doesn't hurt herself. See, moms don't really have eyes in the back of their head, just seems like it. But you'll make sure no one will hurt or destroy in all that God's holy mountain. Because He'll be you. Now, He could do it all. God could do it all. But He's giving us the privilege of His love and serving. And that's going to bring us joy, the same joy that He has, the same love that He has. Wow. Being a king and a priest in God's kingdom is going to be joy. I gave a sermon on joy here. But what brings joy? Love. Love brings the most joy. And kings and priests in God's kingdom will be filled with love and joy as they have never had, as we've never had ever in this life. And then, can you imagine? If you've helped this girl grow, and you'll know when she's falling in love, you'll know when she's, after she's married, when she's pregnant before she knows, you'll watch her grow into an old woman and be there to make sure she's okay and she'll never be lonely. And then she'll be born into God's kingdom also. Just as Jesus is bringing many sons to glory, Jesus will be bringing many sons and daughters to glory through us, underneath Him. Can you imagine when you have helped this, you've known this person since they were just a little tiny speck in mom, and now they are born into God's kingdom, and God gave you the privilege of leading her there to live forever and ever and ever. And you, God will have used you to do it. Can you imagine? What joy would it be? I mean, I would give up my salvation for my children and my grandchildren and others. You'd say, well, you shouldn't even think that. Paul mentioned that. He mentioned that he would give up his salvation for Israel. I would do it for my children, but I can't. If one of them was going to be crucified, I'd rather they crucify me than my children. Because I love my children dearly, much more than I love myself. But we will love everybody that we're serving. And when they are born, can you imagine when all my children are baptized? But that doesn't mean they'll be in the kingdom. Can you imagine the joy I'll feel when I see David or Fred, Debbie and Melissa, and my 8 granddaughters and 1 grandson, and Willow, and all the... I married a bunch of 5 grandchildren and 5 great-grandchildren. And they're beautiful, they're wonderful. I'll tell you what, can you imagine seeing them in the kingdom? But you'll see many that you have loved in God's kingdom because you will have been a king and a priest. And that will be your job. So, looking at being a king and a priest can sound, oh, it doesn't sound like much. You sit on this cold throne and you wear a cold crown. Being a king and a priest in God's kingdom is incredible. Like Jesus, we will become love. And I want to read, I may have read this to you before, I want to read it again from Dr. Ward. He wrote this before the feast last year. Written September 16th, 2018. And he says, at this critical, crucial time in the course of human history and in the plan of God, we need to carefully consider and internalize the words of the Apostle Paul. Quote, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. He's into the King James. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, here's what he's getting to, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Then Dr. Ward says this, please meditate carefully. I may have read this here to you once before. On the following phrase in verse 2. For the joy that was set before him. What joy, Dr. Ward asked, do you think he is referring to? I think I read this in the sermon I gave on joy. It is the joy of seeing you and I in the kingdom of God as glorious, radiant spirit beings. That's the joy we'll have. Seeing our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. Seeing people that we have helped. Children that we have helped under God. That we have served. Become spirit beings to live forever and ever. Can't imagine a greater joy that I could have than seeing my children, my grandchildren. But even more in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom. And I want to read Colossians chapter 3 verses 1 through 4. And I know you're thinking about food, but we've got 4 more minutes. No, that clock's a minute ahead. Colossians chapter 3 verses 1 through 4. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. You'd say, well, I can't see what's up there. Well, we know what's up there. Love and joy. That's what's up there. What's up there is a father and a brother who are desperately wanting us to develop godly character so we can be in the kingdom. God the Father and Jesus, how much does Jesus want us to be there? You know, you have to really, to accept being crucified. For the joy that was set before him, we read. Sitting at the right hand of God, set your mind on things above. I know what's there. Love and joy. God the Father and Jesus Christ who love us and want us desperately to be in the kingdom. But they're not going to force us, because then we wouldn't have the character to be there. He says, not on things of the earth, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. We don't comprehend that. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory and be a king and a priest. That glory, that reward, that love, that joy is stored in heaven right now. It's just waiting for Jesus to return to bring that joy and that love and that glory with him and give it to you. I didn't say hello to the people at home. So hello to the folks at home. This is the meal you get. The rest of us are going to go have snacks. So you can get up and go get your... Maybe you already did. You're sitting there in a robe, aren't you? It's your nice robe. Except you guys, you're sitting there and you're wearing sweats. You need them on a cold day like today. And you probably have had a cup of coffee and gotten your second one. Or maybe you fell asleep. Anyway, wish you could be here. Glad you're able to watch. Do I need to ask blessing on the snacks? Okay, I will. Father in